Welcome to the What in the World is God Doing podcast. Conversations with Highland Park missions partners in Casper, Wyoming, and around the world. In the midst of global crises and a daily onslaught of discouraging news, this podcast will encourage you about the good work God is doing around the world and inspire you to join God's mission in our everyday lives. Highland Park Community Church exists to take risks to pursue God and love like Jesus. And our mission partners are courageously living that out at home and abroad. I'm Darren Adwell-Palker, the GO pastor at Highland Park. And joining me today is Tanner Christensen. Tanner is a Casper native who's no stranger to Highland Park. Tanner currently serves with the middle school ministry on Sunday mornings and came with us on our recent trip to Lebanon in July of 2022. So, Tanner, welcome, man.
Thanks, man. I'm super excited to be here, talk about our trip. It's exciting.
Yeah, bro. So you came with me and a team of about five others to Lebanon this summer, and we have a mission partner there, Heart for Lebanon.
Yeah.
So talk to us a little bit about who Heart for Lebanon is and what they do.
Yeah, Heart for Lebanon is a ministry that exists to serve the Syrian refugee population, as well as the lower income and lower class of Lebanese families. From the war happening in Syria, in like a matter of months, millions of refugees came into Lebanon from Syria and became this huge like crisis. And so they exist to serve them through different stages of care, and just kind of have this philosophy of bringing hope into desperate situations.
That's awesome. Yeah. In 2011, you referred to the civil war there, Bashar al-Assad. This was during the Arab uprising, the Arab Spring, as it's known, and countries around the Middle East were experiencing democratic revolutions. And Bashar al-Assad responded to that by an intense crackdown on his people. And the estimates are that there's about 13 million Syrians that have been displaced within their country and an additional almost 7 million refugees around the world. Wow. And 2 million of those refugees approximately have come over to Lebanon, one of the neighboring countries. And Lebanon only has a population of 4 million Lebanese in it, right? So to add 2 million refugees on top of that, yeah, has totally stretched and crushed the economy. So what was it that most impacted you when we were there? When the kind of stuff that we did? Just give us an overview of kind of what we did when we were there in Lebanon.
Yeah, I mean, there is so much I could talk about. I mean, from just the people, I mean, the food, just every bit of it. But specifically, like when I think back on the trip and the things that I continue to process is like the experiences that we had and just the everyday part of like the visits that they do. So Heart for Lebanon, one of the main resources they do for their community is just simply like being present and visiting and investing in the relationship with these refugees and excuse me, and just getting to be a part of that and not even fully know all that they're saying because it's in Arabic and
yeah.
And your translator tells you most, but you just get to witness like this relationship that has been formed from people who just kind of entered into their lives with love and how like that foundation brought this relationship. And although I will say like those experiences were heartbreaking and I was just overwhelmed with empathy hearing stories of women and children who came and their husbands maybe didn't make it or their husbands have to work all the time. Just these situations that they're in and just hearing just the true like desperation. Mm. And for me, it affected like the way I like my worldview, the way I, like I see things today. Mm. And just because though they had this like desperate, almost hopeless situation, they had this overwhelming sense of hope and joy in the presence of this despair. And that was like what just changed. It's like still how I view things today. Just like how can I take like what I saw there that presence of hope and joy and peace and despair, and apply it to my daily life today. So,
you know, a core book that we read and help people grow and train in is a book called When Helping Hurts. And talked about this in our last podcast, but the idea is that the way in which we define poverty determines our approach to how we go about working on it, right? So if poverty is primarily a lack of stuff, the answer is to give people stuff. Mm. The biblical vision of poverty is broken relationship that starts with our relationship with God, that impacts our relationship with ourself, that then flows to our relationship with other people, and then that flows out from there into the community and the world at large, right? And so the gospel vision is a vision of whole and restored relationship. Yeah. So what you were talking about is inspiring to me because, yes, Heart for Lebanon is doing this in incredibly dire and extreme circumstances, in the middle of refugee camps with just, you know, walls that are literally, you know,
tents
like, nailed boards together and just, you know, carpets rolled out on the ground. That
they've been there for 10 years.
Yes, yeah, right. It just it blows any categories that I have, right? And yet their approach is so foundationally relational. Mm-hmm. The ministry of presence. I think about Jesus walking around Galilee. Literally, I mean, some of those areas that we visited, Jesus was there, man, like Tyre and Sidon and, you know, the Syrophoenician woman. This is all happening in Lebanon, just north of where Israel is. And so this is the area that Jesus traveled. Mm-hmm. And to think about the Son of God coming to earth and really offering the ministry of presence.
Yeah.
And through that ministry of presence, people were healed. Mm-hmm. Is there a particular story that sticks out to you in the visits?
Man, I think, so I went on a couple different visits and our group split up and...
So like I wasn't on the visits that you went to.
And there was a couple that just, I think one blew me away for a reason. Just like we went into this one home and there were... one lady who was I believe a double amputee.
Wow.
And, just a couple other older ladies and just the way that, the hosts that we were with, the people with Heart for Lebanon just had this ability to like connect and like enter into like a situation, like humbly and respectfully of like recognizing like the pain that they're in, but still, us to be able to go in there and pray with them and hear their stories and hear their suffering and like be present with them. That was powerful. But one of the most powerful visits I had is just this one lady. She was a Kurdish lady and she, we got there and she was like cleaning off the stairs cause she wanted to make sure it was like looked great for us. And she, and there was kids everywhere. And, like everywhere, like I can't, like 6, 7, 8 kids. And she was like telling everyone, like telling us all their names and everything and having them introduce themselves to us. And, as she was just talking, she was just, you know, sharing how God has put this, this like mission on her heart to take care of these children. And we found out like not even like half of them were hers.
Wow.
And she's like the Syrian refugee who is a recipient of the care of Heart for Lebanon, is like this ripple effect of this whole gospel where it comes in and it provides this hope and she's learning about Jesus and she's learning how to read and write through Heart for Lebanon through their groups. And she just has like this, like, encouraging like desire to just continue to learn about Jesus so she can continue to love like Jesus. And it just that sort of, and obviously I didn't go into all of her story, but like hearing how she got there and how I would never put like I can never see how I would get through like all this pain and all this and then so displaced from my home. Yeah. And like instead of just like living in that, she lived in her moment and was able to operate and serve God through whatever she had in that moment because of the gospel.
Well, you know, and that brings me to a book and kind of concept that we wrestled with in our preparation while we were there. Really, I was encouraging people to keep their eyes out for this term that we use called the thick gospel, right? And so it comes from a book by Lisa Sharon Harper called The Very Good Gospel. And in the introduction, Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann talks about the difference between a thin gospel and a thick gospel. So a thin gospel is essentially Jesus came to earth to die for our sins so that we can go to heaven when we die, right? Mm-hmm. And that's clearly an absolute central part of the gospel. Yeah. It's just not the entirety of the gospel, nor of the entire scripture story. And so a thick gospel is, yes, Jesus came to die to bring us to life, but also to bring about the power and presence of God wherever he went, to bring about the restoration of relationship, the Hebrew word shalom, right relationship, the way that things were designed to be, and that we get to carry that message forward and see that impact every area of life. Like, the gospel must impact every area of our lives, our relationships, the way that we deal with our finances, what we do with our time, how we serve, our community impact, and beyond. And so it's so much more, right, than this individual, like, I'm just going to say yes and wait till I die, right, to see God showing up in this way. So where did you see, I mean, one of my questions for the team was, keep your eyes out for where you see evidence of the thick gospel, of the gospel, like, impacting not only individuals, yes, individuals, but beyond that, rippling out. And sounds like this lady is mm-hmm. is one example. Are there others that you can share?
Yeah, I mean, like, where did I see the thick gospel in action? Everywhere. Like, everywhere we went, I just saw this. I kind of explained earlier how, like, one of the main things I feel that changed in me was just my worldview and how I viewed things. And seeing that these people in these situations of just like brokenness, and how every part of them was like full of joy. They had hope, and the way they would tell us, you know, something that they needed prayer for, but they would like respond with that with, but it's okay, 'cause I know God is going to come through.
And a lot of these people are from Muslim backgrounds.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that for me, just like, the way in which, this is kind of a different way I saw a thick gospel, is just the way in which the people and the workers at Heart for Lebanon loved people. Mm. And like, they had this approach of just coming in, and no matter their background, yeah, just like learning who they are, and just like through that they had access to growing closer with him, and then providing them with basic needs that they need to survive, and that opened doors for them to provide gospel conversations.
And I wonder if we can just for a moment extend that into our lives, right? Because yeah, it's easy to think, well, hey, I'm in Casper, Wyoming. I'm not in, you know, Beirut, Lebanon, mm-hmm, right? Or the Baca Valley among Syrian refugees. Yeah. So what can I do? But what I'm hearing you say and kind of coming out of this conversation is this idea of the ministry of presence.
Yeah.
The power of just simply being present with people where they are, what they're going through. So can you talk about, like, people that are listening, just maybe a word of encouragement about, like, what could it look like for us to realize that we are bearers of the image of God,
yeah, right?
That we are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus has given us this calling, and what they're doing in Lebanon, like, we can actually do right mm-hmm. here. What would that look like for people just in their regular lives?
Man, I'm a big believer that, you know, Jesus came and he gave us some simple commandments, waters down to just a couple simple, like, love God and love others. And then he gave us a direct, like, great commandment to go and make, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. And so I believe that the best way that we can love God is by loving others. Wow. And so actually here at Highland Park in the youth, they have this with you kind of
theme.
Yeah. And just the truth that in our lives, like, we interact with people who are always going through different situations in life. And growing up, as I would share my testimony with people, I'd always say, when we share our stories, we could share, but we can't compare. Because like if you're going through hurt, or if you're going through a trial, like, that is so significant for you in that moment. And for us, being Christ followers, being the hands and feet of Jesus, for us to really understand, like, Jesus came, yes, to bring atonement for our sins, and yes, to give us this amazing gift of eternal salvation. And I can't, like, dilute that at all. But what I am convicted of now.
What if you expand on that?
Like
that, which is incredible, right?
Yeah.
And,
but like, so now, like I can't dilute that. Like, but what I'm faced with is recognizing is like, when do I water down the gospel? Mm. And what does that, how does that.
Or reduce it.
Reduce it. And like, how does that affect the way that we love others? And so here, learning, like seeing the true power of loving people, and just loving them like Jesus loved them. I believe just like we could change lives through just the showing up for people, being present with them, not necessarily providing answers. Cause that's one thing I saw a lot of the time was like, it's like they were,
what do you say to a double amputee refugee that doesn't have, you know,
it's just like, it's not like this idea of like fixing, but just like being with people. Yeah. And through that, I mean, that's what Jesus did. Like he surrounded himself with people, and through the way he loved them, people were like challenged by that. And they're like, you love in this such a different way that just radically changes everything. And so like when we really capitalize on this idea of this thick gospel and in our lives, it changes the way that we approach our conflict with our spouses or with our friends, or changes the way that we tithe, or just anything, the way that we view struggle, or that we view blessing, just like all this.
It impacts
everything.
Area.
Yeah. And instead of just this reduced
church on Sunday.
Yeah. And to me, like these experiences, like provide just a greater understanding of what Jesus is capable of in our lives. Mm,
that's awesome, man. You know, we have three kind of goals when we go on a trip. One is a deepened understanding of the gospel. And it sounds like just hearing you, like, you got it.
That was big.
Awesome, dude. No, that's great, because we want to be, and that's the reason why the global church is so important. We strengthen each other. We challenge each other. I think every culture has strengths that reflect the heart of God, and every culture has areas that can be improved that reflect more of the kingdom of man in our culture, right? And so as Americans, we're challenged by Lebanese Christians. They're challenged by us, right? And so that's why we need to be in relationship with each other. So understanding the gospel, another key point is learning about culture, why people do things differently. Hospitality is huge, right? I mean, it was what, in the 90s, I'm sure, a lot of those days, and there we are being served hot. You've got,
man,
two choices.
I was buzzing. So much coffee.
Turkish coffee, dude. Turkish coffee is in those cups that look like a shot glass, and it is absolute straight on like coffee grind.
Sometimes, I was just about to say, sometimes it's like mud. Like you finished, like there was like a centimeter of mud on the bottom, and you're just like, go for it. And then they would fill it up again, and then you'd be like, no. And then they would just
go. No, it's real.
It was amazing.
It's real. You just got to dive into it, you know? And so culture and the hospitality, and even people that, again, is sitting in tents, they are so thoughtful, so kind, so willing to give. So gospel is one, culture is one. And the third thing is just internally paying attention to the shifts that are happening in you, inside of you, right? As you go, as you serve. And man, you were amazing. We had this one day where we were packing these bags that are, I mean, they've got to weigh what, 60 pounds, 70?
Something like that.
All right. They were heavy. And we were putting these things together, man. And Tanner, you were sweating. Like you were a beast out there, right? And it was funny. I kind of broke away for a moment.
You said, hey, you got this for a second, right? And I kind of looked at you and I was like, What do you mean? Yeah,
so I had to step out for a meeting with Camille, the founder of Heart for Lebanon, and kind of do some planning and stuff. And I came back, man, you looked like you had jumped in a swimming pool. But all of that, there's real practical hands-on stuff. There's the relational stuff. But it's ultimately, what is God doing in you and through you? How are you different coming back? And so just let's end on that. Like, what is it that shifted in you? And this is an encouragement for people to go, because yes, we make an impact, but obviously like we are deeply impacted by seeing believers in other countries serve in very difficult contexts and living out a thick gospel. Mm-hmm. Like that can't not impact you. So what impact did Lebanon leave on you?
Well, I was just trying to find what, on one of the days, so one of the sub-ministries, I guess you would call it, that Heart for Lebanon has is Hope on Wheels.
Yeah.
And in the summertime, Hope on... Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, just to clarify, so they have an education program for Syrian refugees, and but yeah. it can only take a few hundred kids, mm-hmm. right? And so Hope on Wheels is literally a truck that, with a side panel that flaps down, and they go into the tent settlements, blast this Christian music, and basically do like a few-hour VBS.
Yeah, kind impromptu VBS. Impromptu,
and the kids flood right out to see it. And so, again, it's a response that they can't meet the needs of all the kids yeah. in education, but... To the ones that they can't, they go there for Hope on Wheels.
So we were at one of those events, and the kids were singing. They were singing this song and like dancing, and I had to talk about this internal shift. I had to literally step out of the room because I just was moved to tears, wow. and I was just had this like this God was just like moving my heart and like showing me like that these kids who like you said. And I talked to some of the teachers there. These are probably the kids whose parents couldn't afford schooling for them, and they couldn't make it into these programs, and because they were maxed out, and or they lived too far away. And so, like, just to see the power that, like, love that these people had on these kids' lives, and like they were laughing, and they had all this joy. And I wrote down on my notes somewhere in my phone while I was there is like to look at their faces and see joy, to hear their laughter and hear joy, but to know their stories is what just like broke my heart. Cause I knew like where they were going to go after this, where they're going to go back to their homes yeah. and just,
and not have education, not be in school.
Yeah. And so like, this was their only opportunity to learn and to learn how to read and write. And so I just saw this like recognition of like the full power that the gospel can have in all situations of life. And for there, yeah, they have a huge need that they're facing. But for us today, I feel like I could take that and look at that, whatever situation we're in, whatever we're facing, or whatever hill we're climbing, whatever journey God has us on right now, it's all the same, and we're all like in this pursuit of like finding the love of Jesus and applying it to our lives and then giving it to others. And I think when we see when I saw like that displayed, it just encouraged me to like, I could take this gospel and have it transform every area of my life. And no matter like or not saying situations don't matter, because I don't want to degrade people's struggles, but like at the end of the day, the power of Jesus yep. to reconcile all parts yep. of our heart and all parts of our being, our soul, our whole being, just because of his love. Like I'm walking away with a deeper appreciation of how I am loved and how Jesus's love changes my circumstances, my situations, but also like walking away with this stronger desire to love in the way that he loves others.
And that's a mission that can be lived out in tent settlements among Syrian refugees in the Bekaa Valley of Lebanon.
Yeah.
And that can be lived out in the halls of high schools in yeah. Casper, in workplaces, in homes and communities, right? I mean, what I'm hearing you say, and this is the vision I think Jesus would want us to capture, right? He's like, I give you this new command. I'm just asking you this one thing. Just love each other.
Yeah, man. And like it, like going back to like Lebanon, like we could tie so many like things I learned from there, but like the difference and like the people that they were loving, like it didn't matter. Like we had people from different countries and there were some like frustrations between that, but like they still loved. We had people from different faiths, but they still loved. And so just to see like an unconditional yep. loving approach
yep.
and then to see the fruit of that
yep.
and just to have this wonder of what could that be like for me in our lives here in Casper, here, wherever we are.
It's easy to get discouraged. And I know I have at times, and I've talked to people that almost have a sense of resignation in American culture of like, oh, the politics and the polarization, and I can never get along with. But to think that some of these divisions that they're overcoming go back generations, and even centuries.
Yeah.
I mean, the divisions in the Middle East are some of the oldest in the world, right? And so to see the power of the gospel lived out in a thick way that impacts relationships, that impacts communities, is something that we don't have to go to Lebanon to see. The challenge is, may we live that out here. And so, Tanner, to that end, would you pray for us that those that are listening can hear these stories and say, you know what? The same Jesus lives in me, and I can love and I can take risks and I can be the presence of Christ where I see despair, where I see darkness, to bring hope, to bring life, to see shalom and restored relationship take place. I mean, that's the goal.
Yeah.
And we thank Heart for Lebanon for inspiring us, showing us what that can look like in such dire circumstances, but we can live that out here.
Yeah. Dude, I'd love to. Hey, God, thank you so much for who you are, for sending your son Jesus to come and not only die for our sins so that we could be one with you, God, but for coming and bringing heaven to earth, God, to bringing back shalom, the way, this peace in which you truly desired us to live in the first place. When you first created the world, back in the Garden of Eden, you're continuing to bring back this Eden in our world through Jesus every single day. And I just thank you for my own life, for taking my situations, my trauma, my pain, and my past, God, and applying your love to that and transforming me and giving me a new purpose and a new calling in life to love people in the way that you love me, so that this gift that you gave me goes to others, God. And so I just pray that for anyone listening to this right now, for me, for Darren, for our church, God, that we step into this posture of loving like Jesus, but not in a reduced way, in a full way, God, in a way that intercedes boundaries that our culture puts on us, but that we love in a way that Jesus loves, which is radical and it changes lives. So God, I just thank you for experiences like mission trips and Heart for Lebanon, but also just thank you mostly, God, for your love and the power in which it has in our lives. We pray this in your heavenly name. Amen.
Amen. Tanner, thanks so much, man. And I just got to say this. I appreciate your willingness to take a risk, right? To jump, to step out. Yeah. I remember it was like we were going to buy our tickets like the next day to Lebanon. Yeah. And I saw
11
you.
Hours.
And I saw you in the church. I'm like, hey, dude, you want to go to Lebanon? You're like, yeah. When? I'm like, I need to know by tomorrow. so you're like, I'm in. And that was just awesome, man. That heartbeat, I just appreciate it. You loved, you served, you sweated.
I'm so glad I did. Yeah.
You learned and it was awesome. So, and thanks for sharing with us here, man.
For sure.
Thanks so much for joining us. Our goal is to get you moving on mission. Go to hpcc.church/missions to sign up for weekly service updates in Casper and beyond. Follow us on our Facebook page at HPCC Missions. I also want to say a huge thank you to all those who partner with us in prayer and your giving to missions at Highland Park through Faith Promise. We are blessed to bless. See you next time.